wonder this afternoon, brethren, whether we could turn to 2 Samuel. Just want to read a verse in chapter 4 and verse 4. I have on my heart to take up just a few thoughts in chapter 9 in connection with Mephibosheth, but really in connection with God's people. We often use this particular portion of Scripture in the Gospel, but really has some truth for us that would touch our hearts in connection with David as a picture of the Lord Jesus there for those that are, of us that are believers. I'll just read in chapter 4 and verse 4. And Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame of his feet. He was 5 years old. When the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel, and his nurse took him up and fled. And it came to pass, as she made haste to flee, that he fell and became lame. And his name was Mephibosheth. Then in chapter 5, we'll just read a couple of verses there. In verse 4, David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. In Hebron he reigned over Judah 7 years and 6 months, and in Jerusalem he reigned 33 years over all Israel and Judah. And then we're reading chapter 9, verse 1. And David said, "Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake?" And there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, "Art thou Ziba?" And he said, "Thy servant is he." And the king said, "Is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet." And the king said unto him, "Where is he?" And Ziba said unto the king, "Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar." Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, "Mephibosheth." And he answered, "Behold, thy servant." And David said unto him, "Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually." And he bowed himself and said, "What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am?" Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, "I have given unto thy master's son all that pertained to Saul and to his all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servant shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table." Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, "According to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do." "As for Mephibosheth," said the king, "he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons." And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat bread, for he did eat continually at the king's table, and was lame on both of his feet. And then just one more verse in, I think it's chapter 17. Right at the end of the chapter in verse 27. 2 Samuel 17 and verse 27. And it came to pass when David was come to Mahanaim, that Shobai, the son of Nahash, of Reba, of the children of Ammon, and Machir, the son of Ammiel, of Lodabar, and Barzillai, the Gileadite of Rogalim, brought beds, and basins, and earthen vessels, and wheat, and barley, and flour, and parched corn, and beans, and lentils, and parched pulse, and honey, and butter, and sheep, and cheese of kine. for David and for the people that were with him to eat. For they said, the people is hungry and weary and thirsty in the wilderness. Well, you know, we heard, we prayed for a dear young man. His name's Ryan. We prayed for him. He's been afflicted with a disease from the age of 5. You know, sin has come into this world and afflicted the people of God. And so we have this dear young man, and perhaps, you know, we're not told how old Mephibosheth was, but I believe perhaps he was a teenager, perhaps in his late teens. These verses in 2 Samuel chapter 5 remind us that David reigned in Hebron 7.5 years. And so he came and he dwelt in Jerusalem, and he took Jerusalem. But we have here a little picture, beloved brethren, of the grace of God in connection with his people and how his purposes have been purposes of blessing for you and I before we knew the Lord. And so we find that David, it's just a little picture of Christ. You know, David is, his name means beloved, beloved. He was dearly beloved. He was God's anointed to reign over his people. He had the heart of God. He was a man after God's own heart, and he was beloved. And he had a heart of love for God's people. And you know, he says it shows his love by what he asked. He wanted to show kindness for Jonathan's sake. And so, you know, beloved, it just strikes me that the Lord desires to show kindness to his people. Always, always desires to show kindness and love to his people. And yet here we have one that is living in the land and doesn't know David, never come face to face with David. And I don't want to comment on every verse here, but I find it very instructive to review the names of these different ones, that these different individuals that God mentions by name, and what their names mean. Jonathan, you know, means that the Lord gave. And so Saul had a son. His name means the Lord gave. But you know, Saul means a man of unrestrained desire. We live in a scene where men live with unrestrained desire. It's a wicked world that we live in. And so here was Saul. He had a son. And his son's name was Jonathan. And he had been slain in battle. He'd followed his father into battle. And instead of following David, he chose to follow his father, Saul. And he lost his life in a battle. And you know, sometimes I think that this really would give us to speak of how we can follow those that are naturally close to us in the flesh. Natural relatives, and perhaps aren't following in a path of obedience or faithfulness to the Lord. And we need to be exercised as to whether or not that's a path to be on. And so sometimes our dear ones, the ones that we're closely related to, don't walk in obedience to the Lord. Well, we have here in verse 3 that David asked Ziba, is there yet not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto Jonathan, unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And so this is the heart of God. The Lord desires to have a close relationship with each one of us. He desires our fellowship, beloved, every one of us. He desires a close relationship with each one of us. He desires to hear our voices in prayer. He delights to see our faces, as it were, at his table. He delights to see us where he is. And so he searched for those that he might shower blessing upon, and he asked, where is he? I want to ask you, dear ones, is there anyone here that really does know the Lord Jesus as Savior, but isn't walking closely with him? Well, the Lord desires that. Where is he? Where are you in your Christian path today? Are you desiring to fulfill the lust of the flesh? Why, it says here that this man was the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, the son of one that was characterized by unrestrained desire in God's things. He was unrestrained in his life, and we live in that kind of a scene. And so we need to restrain ourselves. We need to exercise self-control and to seek the will of the Lord in our lives that there might be blessing. Well, you know, Saul didn't get the blessing. And Jonathan, he did enjoy David's company for a time. But here we find that Mephibosheth, the son, is brought into a position of blessing and favor before David. And so he says, where is he? And then God gives us a real nice, clear picture as to where he was. Behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. You know, this name Machir, there's only two times in Scripture, I believe, that this name is mentioned. It's mentioned here and in that verse that I read in chapter 17. And I believe we have here a little picture of a shepherd in Israel, perhaps an overseer, if you take it in that context in connection with Mephibosheth. He was looking after Mephibosheth for the Lord, as it were. It says Machir really means one who sells, a salesman, a commercial man, perhaps involved in commercial dealings. But Ammiel means the people of God. So here was one, he was in, perhaps, I don't want to read something into it that isn't there, but perhaps we can get a little thought here from the Scriptures that make here the son of Ammiel, the people of God, in Lodabar. Now that place, Lodabar, means a barren place without a pasture, a barren place. So here was Mephibosheth, he was in a barren place, he was in the land, God's promised land, land of Canaan, that he'd given to his people, but he didn't have that personal relationship with David. He was afraid of David. And he didn't really come into the blessing until just a little later here, but he was preserved in that place with a man called Machir, the son of Ammiel, in Lodabar. And I just like the scripture in chapter 17, and it gives us a little bit of the character of that individual. Machir, the son of Ammiel of Lodabar, what did he bring? He brought beds, basin, earthen vessels, wheat and barley and flour. He brought all those things. He brought them for David and for the people that were with him to eat. And so he brought it for the sustenance of God's people. He was given to hospitality. Oh, how much would these items have cost in the day that Machir lived? They would have cost perhaps a small fortune to bring all of these things. He brought them and freely gave them to David. Oh, dear brethren, our young people, our children, each one of us, you know, has a desire for hospitality, for fellowship one with the other. And it's a nice thing, you know, that Machir brought this man, this helpless man, into his house and showed him the kindness of God and just perhaps spoke to him of David. I don't want to read something into it here that isn't there. But I submit for your, as a thought, that perhaps he spoke of David. He gave a little refuge to this man. In this scene, in the land of Israel, he gave him a refuge and he fed him in his body. But I trust that he fed him in his soul too, because he had a heart for David and he desired the blessing of God's people. And so it says here that King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Ammiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. And David said, Mephibosheth. And he answered, Behold thy servant. Well, you know, I think as I read this little portion of scripture of something a brother used to say, I believe it was Albert Hale. He used to say, brethren, we're all just a bunch of zeros. We're all just a bunch of zeros. Every one of us are nothing. We're a bunch of zeros. You could line us all up from one end of the earth to the other, and we're all just a bunch of zeros, but with a one in front. That makes the difference. The one is Christ. And so Mephibosheth had a sense of his nothingness before David. And it's a good thing to have a sense of our nothingness before the Lord. You and I, those of us that know Christ as Savior, are saved by the sovereign grace of God, the goodness of God, and it's His sovereign love. It's nothing to do with ourselves. We have nothing that we can add to the work of Christ in connection with redemption or salvation. Nothing. So we're brought into blessing on the basis of sovereign grace. But then we find a little later on that there's more elements of that grace. It speaks of how he's brought to the table, to the king's table. I just want to make a few comments, though, that Mephibosheth fell on his face and did reverence. Oh, it's a good thing, beloved, to have reverence in the presence of the Lord. A very, very good thing to have reverence in the presence of the Lord. When we come together like this in a meeting like this, or a reading meeting or a prayer meeting, at the breaking of bread, those are assembly meetings. We're gathered by the Spirit of God to be in the presence of the Lord, and it's a good thing to have a low place. Much mischief is done among the Lord's people by those that seek to exalt themselves. And here Mephibosheth didn't exalt himself. He didn't come in with pomp and glory into the presence of David and say, "I'm the son of Saul." And he didn't present that position at all. He took a low place. He was nothing. And so he was blessed on the basis of being nothing. Oh, we're just a bunch of big zeros, brethren. But there's a one out in front, the Lord Jesus, the one that desires to have preeminence in all things, and that God desires to exalt, to have that preeminence. Well, it says here, it's very touching, David said, "Mephibosheth, Mephibosheth." He'd never seen David before. Oh, David loved that man. And maybe, you know, you haven't really had that relationship, that close relationship with the Lord Jesus, and fallen on your face in humility and said, "I didn't walk with you the way I should have. All these years I've known that I should be walking close to the Lord, but I haven't." Oh, Mephibosheth came. He saw David for the first time. He fell on his face in humility. And what does he hear? He hears his name, Mephibosheth. What love must have come from David's heart. What love. Can you imagine how that word, that name was pronounced? You know, that name Mephibosheth means a shameful thing. There are two names that are associated with Mephibosheth. One is Meribaal. I think that means an idol breaker. But this one here, Mephibosheth, means a shameful thing. And so, even though we're connected with a fallen creation, we're fallen, we're guilty, we're part of the fallen creation, God loves us and desires to bring us into blessing. Sovereign grace. Sovereign grace. So what does Mephibosheth say? "Behold thy servant." Oh, there wasn't any pretense here. He said it in truth. "Behold thy servant." He said it in humility. Oh, those of us that know the Lord Jesus as Savior, it's a nice thing to be able to do something for the Lord. The time will soon be over. The Lord is coming very shortly. He's going to take us home to be with Himself. The time is almost over to do anything for the Lord. But you know, you might say, what could Mephibosheth do for the Lord? What could he do? He was lame on both of his feet. Perhaps a teenager, or maybe just a little older. What could he do? He could be with David. He could keep company with David at the Lord, at the king's table. That's where he could be. Oh, David enjoyed Mephibosheth's company. Every time he looked at Mephibosheth, he must have thought of his love for Jonathan and of some of the things that he and Jonathan had shared together in their circumstances while King Saul was alive and while the king was perhaps chasing David through the countryside. Why, we find that Mephibosheth reminded David of Jonathan. And so you, dear friends, every one of us, everyone, dear beloved, remind us of what it cost. It reminds God of what it cost the Lord Jesus to bear our sins in His own body on the tree, to have us near to Himself and to enjoy His company. Well, we find that David in verse 7 says unto him, "Fear not." Don't be afraid anymore. Don't be afraid. Oh, just enjoy the love of God. Enjoy the love of David. Enjoy the love of the Lord Jesus. Perhaps Mephibosheth had a conscience. He had a conscience. He was afraid of David. He knew that he was a son of Saul. And he knew that David righteously was the king, and that he had no claim to the throne or to the majesty, to the person of David. But he's brought into the position of favor and blessing on the ground of sovereign grace. Well, it says, I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake. There's four things here. One, he says, fear not. The second, he says, I will surely show thee kindness. And the third thing, I will restore thee all. And the fourth thing, thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Oh, it's a wonderful thing to be restored to the Lord. To be restored, not to be afraid of the Lord anymore. Not only to be saved, but to be brought into the position of blessing as this man was soon to experience. Thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Oh, it's not the table of the brethren. It's not the table of the local assembly. It's the Lord's table. Oh, it's a privilege to be there at the Lord's table. But here was a man, he was zero, he was a nothing. And he was brought on the basis of sovereign grace to the king's table. He was brought to the Lord's table, if you will, on the basis of sovereign grace. And so those of us here that know the Lord and we're gathered to the Lord's name, we enjoy His presence. We enjoy to remember the Lord Jesus and His death in His presence on a Lord's Day morning. Why? We're there because of sovereign grace and the love that is in God's heart. The love in the heart of the Lord Jesus. Not on the part of our goodness at all. Nothing that we can add to the work of Christ at all in connection with His desire to bless us. But we can walk in His light. Well, he had that low place in connection with being able to eat at the table. In verse 8, he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? And so he had that sense of humility at the Lord's table, if you will. At the king's table, he felt his nothingness. Oh, it's a wonderful thing not to exalt ourselves. It's a wonderful thing to just enjoy the Lord Jesus himself, the person of Christ, the glory, the majesty, the finished work of that blessed man in his presence and feel our nothingness. Well, we find here a little later on, I'll just read in verse 11, the last part of verse 11, as for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table. As one of the king's sons. As one of the king's sons. Why, that gives us a little bit of a picture of the dignity of his position as a son. God says, I think it's in Romans chapter 8, that we're heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. Oh, he desires blessing for his own. As one of the king's sons. So we're brought into the family of God. And we don't sit at the Lord's table and eat at the Lord's table as lost sinners. Yes, we're lost. We were lost sinners, but we're saved sinners. We sit there in a new position and we enjoy the position, the standing of being sons of God. What dignity. It was a right given to him of David. And John and verse 12, Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. God loves to, he just delights to give us these little pictures, these little names. This name Micah means poor and humble. Mephibosheth, that shameful thing, he had a little boy one day, and he named that boy poor and humble. Oh, it's a nice thing. When our children can come along with us to the meetings and come into the blessed position as those that are saved and part of the family of God to come and sit with their mom and dad on the Lord's Day, perhaps at the meetings like this today. But Micah was going to have to make a decision sooner or later whether or not to follow David, whether or not to have that relationship with David himself. But it brings us, just gives us a little picture of the character of this young man too. He was poor and humble. But he learned that at home. He didn't learn it at David's table, as it were. He learned it at home. If he learns to walk with humility with God, he generally learns that at home. Yes, we can learn that in the assembly. We can be instructed in the ways of God, and we can be encouraged by our brethren to walk in humility before the Lord. But sometimes it's learned at home. A young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were servants unto Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Well, dear brethren, I enjoy what Jerusalem means. The word Salem means peace, perfect and complete. Nothing that can be added to it. That's what it means, peace. Peace with God. But Jerusalem means the possession of peace. The possession of peace. And God always had the desire that his people should live in the possession of peace. He wanted them to possess peace and to enjoy the person of the Lord Jesus. That's what God wants for each one of us to desire. He desires that we would dwell in Jerusalem. Well, that's a little picture of the assembly, Jerusalem, the possession of peace. There's another little meaning of it. It's the abode of harmony. That's a place where harmony should abide in the assembly. And that's what God had desired for his people. He had desired that Israel would be in their land and that they would have their capital city, so to speak, and the place where the Lord dwelled and had chosen to place his name there was going to be a possession of peace for his people. Well, beloved saints, that's where Mephibosheth lived. That's where he lived. I don't believe when David left Jerusalem in Absalom's day, why Mephibosheth stayed in Jerusalem there. He couldn't leave, so to speak. He didn't want to leave. He had found a possession of peace there. He wanted to be there. And you know, he waited for David to return. Even though David was rejected, even though the Lord Jesus is rejected in this world, in this scene, we do have the privilege to come to where he is, where the Lord Jesus is, where he's chosen to place his name there, and to remember him in his death, and to dwell in harmony with one another in the Lord's presence, in the possession of peace. Well, just a few of these thoughts, dear brethren. May we dwell together in that possession of peace in humility, realizing that we're nothing, that any blessing that we have from God, the source of all blessing in this scene, the Lord Jesus, is all on the basis of grace, sovereign grace and love on his part, not ours.